Hello, Fuji lovers. Tomasz here, and this is episode number 19 of the Fuji Love podcast. Needless to say, the Fuji Love podcast is brought to you by the Fuji Love magazine. If you are a Fujifilm user and you are not yet subscribed to the magazine, head over to fujilove.com/magazine and join us. 17th edition of Fuji Love magazine, packed with some great articles by Fujifilm photographers, is about to go live on August 5th. Okay, let's start with today's show. Today I'm interviewing a photographer I wanted to talk already in a very, very long time. Joshua Simmons, passionate photographer based in Texas, USA, very active member of Fujilove community. And I must say, I discovered his work just a couple of months ago. And considering how great his images are, I was shocked to discover that he has just started taking his photography seriously only in September last year, 2016. So I wanted to know more about his fascination and his photographic plans, and also about why he decided to use the Fuji X system. So here it comes. Enjoy my conversation with Joshua Simmons.
This is Fuji Love, a podcast for Fujifilm X users from around the globe. Thank you for tuning in.
Hello, Joshua. It's my big, big pleasure to have you here on the Fujilove podcast. I remember it was, I think, a couple of months ago when I reacted to one of your first photographs in the Fujilove Readers group. Mm-hmm. And since then, I have been following you also on other platforms, on Instagram. I really love what you are doing. And you are into... You wrote me once, I remember, you started actually with photography not so long time ago, but you are already into a couple of genres, I would say, right? You do documentary, street, also astrophotography.
Yes.
This is something I would like to talk. So how did it all start for you? When was it when you grabbed the camera for the first time?
Well, for the first time, and sorry, before I even begin that, let me just say how incredibly honored I am that you are doing this with me. I definitely didn't expect that. But I first started, this was probably September of last year. My wife and children were doing, you know, it's an annual vacation they take back up in Minnesota to visit a family that we have up there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was just all alone in the house, with nothing really to do. And I needed an outlet. I needed something to do to get me out of the house. And prior to that, my wife and I had been doing woodworking together, and I had really gotten away from it. So I sat around, and I'd always enjoyed photography, but then again, it never progressed beyond, you know, the phone that I had in my hand. And I didn't know anything really about photography. I didn't know or understand how to properly make a photograph.
So before, because as I understand, you are now using a Fujifilm camera, but so before that, mm-hmm. you have never owned a, let's call it a proper camera.
No.
I mean, just a phone?
It was just my phone. And prior to that time, I didn't even know about mirrorless cameras. The only thing I knew was Nikon and Canon. Like that was my world. That's all I knew that existed in the world of cameras. And
okay.
Mm-hmm. And so when I began to really look into photography, I happened upon Eliah Locardi.
Oh wow, Eliah, yeah, yes. Good friend.
and I remember watching one of the this was a project he had done with F-stoppers on landscape photography. And during one of those, he began to, you know, go through his gear, what he was using. And, you know, mm-hmm. immediately he brings out the Nikon D810. And so I'm thinking, well, absolutely. Of course, you know, it's 36 megapixels, beautiful lenses that you have. It was wonderful. And of course, at that time in my world, all I'm thinking, more megapixels obviously means greater camera, greater quality. That's what you mm-hmm. need. Mm-hmm. But then towards the end, he pulls out this tiny camera, the X-T1. And he says this is his favorite camera. Like, this is where this goes with him everywhere. And if, you know, very soon, that's all he's going to be shooting with. And I'm thinking to myself, there's no possible way. Like, there's this little camera against this beautiful monster. There's no way that's his favorite camera.
And did you have a chance later? So did you try them both out, kind of? Or how did it then happen that you... Because I can imagine you must have tried the camera before actually purchasing it. Did you just went to the shop and got one and went back home?
I eventually went to a store that didn't have, you know, the A10. They had a 750, but they also had the Fuji, and I just began to handle it, and I enjoyed how everything was right there in front of me. My entire triangle was right there. I could touch it, feel it, and I wouldn't really have to mess around with anything. It could just easily flow together. And the recurring theme throughout all of this is the fact that, you know, my wonderful wife has been, you know, my greatest supporter behind me, just telling me to go for it. So right off the bat, you know, we invested into the Fuji world rather heavily. Right off the bat, I ended up purchasing the X-T2 November of last year with several lenses, actually.
Wow, nice. Nice to have such a supporter on the side. And by the way, correct me if I'm wrong, I read that you're expecting another son, right?
Yes.
Just these days? Just very soon?
At any moment, I'm expecting my wife to tell me that it's time to go. And
okay, then let's keep talking, right?
Yeah.
No, but I find it amazing that, as you say, you started like seriously with photography only last year. Mm-hmm. But you are already talking like a old experience. You know, you're talking about triangles, exposure triangles, and you gave it like a deepest possible dive, right?
I did. I absolutely did. As I honestly didn't expect to enjoy it as much as I do. It's taken on this passion that I didn't expect. And so it's allowed me, and again, my wife and my children, you know, whether or not they're playing the unwilling subjects or, you know, I have the time given to me to just sit, and look at photos, to, read about photography and to really kind of break down in all the necessary parts, what it takes to be a great photographer.
Was looking at photos or maybe at paintings or, you know, other art always kind of accompanying you in your life before? Or is it just really new with the photography?
It's really new, actually, because, you know, a lot of the major photographers throughout history, I didn't know them really. I had never really heard of any of them outside of, you know, Ansel Adams, you know, obviously. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But as time has gone on in these last almost a year, I've, you know, taken the time to get to know some of these photographers, you know, your Vivian May or your André Cartier-Bresson, you know, all of these, Saul Leiter, and I've gotten to know their work, look at their work and enjoy it. But the majority of my education, as it were, has been through some of the photographers and their work that I've been able to encounter through Fuji Love. So,
okay, wow. This is so then it's a big honor for me and for the whole community here that we are helping you along this way, you know, this starting and diving into this world. Because, and also because you are in this first stages, let's say, right? Mm-hmm. Even though already so advanced, in my opinion, and your images are really. You have really amazing eye, in my opinion.
Thank you.
You are checking out, so to speak, at different genres, right? As I said before. So you are trying some street and documentary photography. And also tell us a little bit more about astrophotography. Like, how did this catch your attention? Or how did this start? Like, why stars?
So that initially caught my attention when we go back to Eli Locardi. And so watching, you know, the work that he was doing, you know, you see a lot of landscape that, you know, and travel photography, obviously that's what, you know, he's most known for, but, you know, he would, you know, periodically show his astrophotography work. And I didn't know anything about that genre until I had saw that. And so as soon as he showed me that, and, you know, growing up in big cities with, you know, the majority of my life, you don't get to see really, mm-hmm. you know, the beauty of the night sky like that. And so I began to do, you know, the research on what it would take to get and capture images like that. And it requires travel and understanding of, you know, the night sky and how dark it is and light pollution and so forth and so on. And so I just began to, you know, kind of piece all of that together, mm-hmm. finding, you know, proper subjects for my foreground and see, okay, let's not just make it about the stars, which are beautiful, but let's add a little something else to it. Mm-hmm. I figured when I can use what I have, which at times is being in the military and able to use these as kind of that foreground element to give a little something extra to the image.
Mm-hmm. And now in terms of gear, you know, camera and lenses, is Fujifilm X system, in your opinion, already well suited for this kind of photography?
Most definitely. I don't think that they are lagging behind anyone for that.
So what would be the setup? You know, you are shooting with the X-T2, right?
Yes.
And what would be the ideal lens these days you would take with you when going out there shooting stars?
When shooting stars, I think if I'm doing star trails, I'm going to use an ultra wide angle lens. So for the Fuji's line, it would be the 16 millimeter. I also have a few third-party lenses. I have, you know, my Samyang 12 millimeter F2.
Yeah, I was about to ask about the Samyangs.
And that is the one. When it comes to star trails, because I am trying to capture as much of the landscape, as it were, as possible along with the night sky, that's what I'm using. When it comes to the Milky Way, I'm finding that it's actually the longer focal lengths that are better instead of an ultra wide angle. So I also have the Rokinon 21 millimeter F1.4. And I think that is probably the widest I like to go now when it comes to shooting the Milky Way. So,
mm-hmm. You know, it all sounds like a deepest science for me. I have never tried, astrophotography myself. I mean, I don't know if it has to do with patience. It obviously requires a lot of patience and time, right?
It does. It does. Although with the with things like star trails, what I normally do is I set up the camera, and then I set up the in-camera intervalometer with a 2-second delay, 30 seconds per exposure, and then I just walk away from the camera and just let it go until the battery dies. So
how many exposures would it take?
I get about, so on the battery alone, I'll have 2.5 hours worth, and that'll usually get me maybe 300 to 350.
Okay. And all of those exposures, then you use them for the final image?
Yes.
Is it all okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll take one and do my necessary, you know, adjustments. I won't do too much until the final adjustment. So really at that point, it's just going to be maybe a little exposure, contrast, and that's really it. Then mm-hmm. I'll apply those to every single photo. And then there is a program called StarStax, a free program, where I'll load up all my files. There'll be TIFF files. Then they'll be blended. And so it'll show the movement of the stars over that course of time. And then,
go ahead.
Oh, so, and then I'll take that final image and then bring it back into, say, Lightroom or Capture One and begin to do my final adjustments, you know, here and there, crop a little bit, a little vibrancy, and then, and that'll be the final image.
I'm sorry, you know, I'm just taking a free workshop from you right now, right? And in terms of noise, because it's all long exposures, okay, 30 seconds exposures. So you are staying on the lowest ISO, I imagine?
I try to. I try not to go above ISO 1600.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Where I think a lot of times now the prevailing wisdom is to go as high as you can. The problem you find with that is once you start to get above ISOs 800 and oftentimes even 1600, you're beginning to blow out the stars and they lose their color. Mm-hmm. And so now they're all white. And you lose that vibrancy that a lot of stars have. You know, you have your blues, oranges, and reds that will get lost. And that's sad, because that's a lot of beauty that is, sure, that is being lost.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of long exposure noise, no problem with the Fujis, really, or you have to be careful at some point?
I haven't found them to be an issue. The noise reduction that I use, you know, whether it is through Lightroom or Capture One, it does a great job. I don't have to use much, particularly because I'm shooting at a relatively low ISO, even at 800, and you know, 25 and 30 second exposures. The noise hasn't been an issue.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay. Well, you seem to be pretty into it, pretty excited about this subject here. Is it the kind of photography you are enjoying the most at the moment, or which of those? Because as I said already 17 times, you are shooting everything. Which kind of photography is your favorite one, or do you enjoy everything equally?
No, the photography I enjoy the most is more documentary style photography. I love telling stories through my photos, and so when I'm able to either travel to historic districts in Texas, or my family, or you know, significant events in the lives of mm-hmm. my friends, and just to be able to be there and tell a story, you know, nothing posed and not interrupting the flow of what's going on. I love to be able to capture those images, because that's real life for me. It's mm-hmm. Those are the things, as I tell my wife, I said, those are the things that you remember the most, you know.
Absolutely.
It's those little things that oftentimes are like inside jokes between you and your family that no one would really understand except mm-hmm. you. And to be able to capture that for someone and that they can hold it for the rest of their life. No, that is what I enjoy most.
Do you print your photographs?
I do. Initially it was really at my wife's request. She would beat me up until I would print it, because there was a photo she would enjoy. And so, you know, we print them. A few of my Milky Way photos, friends have asked for prints of those, and I was able to get them for them. But no, I enjoy printing the photo. There's just something about it finally being put into a print, I think, that kind of seals it as a lasting memory.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think it's the one and only ultimate, you know, final destination for a photograph. And I am also guilty myself of not doing it enough. I do it occasionally, but again, it requires time, right? Patience, you know, calibrating whatever your printers. And but once you do it, the final, you know, enjoyment and also the appreciation, actually, of the others, of the viewers, then when you show the print around is much higher. So, yeah, I'm absolutely with you on the same page here. You know, I'm just thinking, because you also shoot a bit on the streets, right? Like you're doing street photography?
Yes, I try to, yes.
Okay. No, I you know, I'm trying to find this like kind of a common denominator for all of your passions. I mean, considering the fact you haven't been doing it for so long, mm-hmm. you seem to be really, like, you know, sunk deep into the whole, yeah, you know, the world, and you have very, yeah, how should I say, very almost like intimate feelings about the photographs. I can feel it. So, and with you doing all of those different kinds of photography, would you be able to put a finger on it, like, what is it in general? What is it? What is this one thing actually which makes you excited about, yeah, about photographing?
Well,
sorry, it's a tough question. We can skip it.
That's a very good question. I've been thinking about it a lot lately, and I think it's the tension between the fleeting and the final. When you're taking a photo, you're capturing a moment in time that a particular light, a particular moment can never be reproduced again. But if you capture it, you have it. You have this permanent historical record that you can look back on and say, I was there, that you can show to someone and say, you were there. That this is what life was like at this particular moment. Or it's a record of, it could be a record of where someone has been that they can look back on and say, I've come through this. I've seen this. I've done that. No, I actually did live life. I don't have to regret. And so again, that's what feeds a lot of that documentary passion, is to be able to show, again, that trail of where I've been, so I can get a good idea of possibly where I'm headed.
Wow, this is amazing words. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps, you know. So I'm really convinced now. I found a new, real photographer friend in you, because, you know, and you verbalize it also so well. It's so difficult to talk about it because it's so, in a way, intangible, right? Mm-hmm. Our emotions and the whole moment of, you know. I talk often about getting goosebumps when you know, pressing the shutter, because I don't know why, you know, it's a juxtaposition of shapes, of particular light, of things which we can't capture on a photograph. Mm-hmm. It's just the whole state of mind, and so I feel we are on the same page here, kind of, and this is fascinating stuff. And back to, I mean, we are the Fujilove podcast, so let's just a few minutes left. Let's talk about Fujis once more. Okay, you chose between, you know, let's say Nikon camera, and then you went for the Fujifilm camera, and now you are shooting with the Fuji. But in the very end, right, I always say it's the output, right? It's the is the images which are coming out of any particular. I mean, the camera can be, you know, perfect in the hands, it can look great, but in the end, if the image would be crap,
right,
it would not work. But, and like, you know, Nikon D81, what is it, 810, and all those top notch, they are producing wonderful images. This is absolutely no question about it. Was there something that you compared or that you found unique in the character, actual character of the files coming out of Fujifilm cameras?
Well, I was definitely drawn to the quality of the JPEGs, and the Fujifilm simulations, in particular, you know, their black and whites, Acros. I absolutely love, you know, black and white photography. And from what I've seen, just even in either it's my own photos and most especially the photos of those whom I admire, there's something that just can't be reproduced. And for me, and my wife will definitely agree with this statement, is I often romanticize a lot of what I do. And Fuji, especially with how they have designed their cameras, it's kind of a throwback to that, a more romantic era when it comes to photography. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just the form and function of their cameras. And so whenever I have my camera in my hand, because I have I have the X-T2, and I recently picked up the X-T20. And so whenever I have them in my hand, I feel like I am, you know, back in a bygone time, you know, messing with, fidgeting with the dials and dialing everything in before I snap, you know, that photo. And again, being able to see what I'm going to get before I snap the shutter is also very, very big to me. So it's like now you have no excuse not to get everything right in camera.
Right, right. Exactly. You see, this is those things I mentioned before, I think, that even those are the things that are not even visible actually on the photograph. We are just, you know, experiencing them. These are feelings, right? Emotions. Mm-hmm. But in a way, I am convinced they influence our work as photographers and the final image. Not in a technical way, but just, you know, in the way we look at the world. And this is so funny. This, yeah, some there will be some people that will call us just freaks. But I am convinced there is much, you know, there is a kind of a wider meaning to all of that. And I can definitely see it in your photographs. So, yeah, amazing, amazing. Where is your photography heading? What do you think is the future for you? Where would you like it to go?
Well, I would like it to continue on in that documentary realm. I've recently received a few requests from friends to photograph for them some significant events that they have upcoming. I would love to do that. I would, you know, so my biggest influences thus far in photography have been Patrick LaRocque, Kevin Mullins, Derek Clark, Pelle Schultz. And so with Kevin Mullins, obviously there's the wedding photography aspect. So I wouldn't mind doing a wedding or two. Obviously I would love to continue on with my astrophotography. And then of course there's not enough that can be said about street photography and capturing that. Though for me, I've had a harder time when it comes to capturing that human element, you know, in a frame. Though, because what I've found, I enjoy the mundane, the everyday, because I think that's honestly, I think that's where a lot of beauty is. It's not always in the grand and the epic and the glorious. It's that everyday. So down the road, I would love to be able to put together a healthy, you know, portfolio of just capturing, you know, life as it is, and still obviously projects, you know, with others, family, friends, strangers, just capturing their life as they go about their day.
Wonderful. Love it. I wish you all the best. I hope I'm convinced your dreams come true, because with this amount of passion and talent, I don't worry about you, Joshua. So, so thanks so much. The last thing. So if people want to, you know, have a look at your images, at your projects and what you are doing these days, what's the, I imagine your website would be the best place to start.
Most definitely. I think it's joshuasimmonsphotography.com. Yeah, there. And then I'm on Instagram, pretty much under the same name. And then I try to be, you know, try to be on Fuji Love, on their Facebook page as often as I possibly can, interacting with people as often as I can. So.
Great. Wonderful. Joshua, thanks so much. Sorry once more for waking you up so early. I know it's very early for you, but we could go on forever, I think, but we are hitting the 30 minutes mark slowly. Thanks so much. I'm looking forward to interacting with you, meeting you in person one day.
Hopefully, yes. Thank you.
Would be amazing. And thanks so much for today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Enjoy your day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Fuji Love Podcast. Stay up to date with Fuji Love. Follow our Facebook page and join the Fuji Love Facebook Readers Group. Head over to www.fujilove.com for all the necessary information. Take good care, and we will talk to you next time.